Thank you, Alistair. If you are different from the rest of the flock, they bite you. That's a line in a novel by Vincent O'Sullivan. I wonder if it's true in your experience of life, or even your experience of church. What are our criteria for determining value? What are our attitudes towards those who are different from us? What's the nature of our shared humanity? Well, this morning, as Sandy said, Jean Vanier is the subject of our Christian Biography Lent sermon series. And he's the founder of the L'Arche Communities, which we're going to hear a bit about shortly. But those are questions that became very important in his experience and in his understanding of his Christian faith and his own calling. Vanier was born in 1928 in Geneva, where his father was serving as a Canadian diplomat, a career that took the family to France and to England, where Jean spent his childhood. And at the age of 13, during the Second World War, Jean entered the Royal Navy College at Dartmouth and went on to serve in both the British and the Canadian Navy. He says that his adolescent years were taken up in the world of efficiency, controlling, and commanding others. In 1950, he left the Canadian Navy, sensing God's call to something else, without knowing exactly what that was. During that period, he joined a Centre for Theological and Spiritual Formation, headed by a Dominican priest, Father Thomas, and he also studied philosophy. He later returned to Canada and taught philosophy for a term, but then returned to France. And through Father Thomas's role as a chaplain, in the early 1960s, Jean became aware of the conditions with which people with learning disabilities were living in psychiatric institutions. He was deeply affected by the distress of many of those that he encountered and the cry for friendship that he witnessed. So we're going to hear a little bit about that experience in his own words.
I was in the Royal Navy, Royal Canadian Navy. I felt called to leave the military to follow Jesus, because I felt that following Jesus gives meaning to peace in our world. I left and I did studies. I was in a community in France and I started teaching at the University of Toronto, and then I went to Trois-Libres, where a priest friend of mine was chaplain of a small institution for people with disabilities. And I was touched by these people with disabilities. And then I discovered that they were amongst the most humiliated, oppressed, pushed aside people. And I discovered something else was, in listening to them, I found they made sense. They were good people. And then I discovered an institution which was very closed. I would say violent. And there were about 80 men in that institution, and I didn't feel called to do something or change the institution. But all I could do was to welcome maybe two men and start living together. And I did that because of my desire to follow Jesus, to work for peace, and to do what I could. I was 36 at the time, and so we began living together, and the adventure of L'Arche began. It was just super. I mean, they were thrilled to come out of the institution, and I was thrilled because there was something really good living with them, because there's something very beautiful. I mean, there's harmonious. And yet, in some many ways, they're a little bit crazy, because they're not people who are in the tyranny of normality, where we have to behave, conform, and so on. And they haven't minds that seek promotion and go up the ladder. They just want to live and be together. And so people came. It was a period in 1964 where people were wanting community. And so L'Arche grew, and it grew rapidly, because first of all, people with disabilities that I was living with were just super people. And we had fun together. It was good to be together. And we began discovering, I'd say, meaning to our lives. And it's just that I wanted to do it. And somewhere inside of me, it's about wanting to do what was right. And I'm not sure that I was sort of evaluating what would be good to do this and how could we do it. It's just like there's something about the inner voice that I believe in, the inner conscience to do what I feel is right. And I felt that that was what I wanted to do, but didn't realize that it could have an impact and that it could be a little bit revolutionary. And of course it was a place where I sensed that I was being transformed. You know, living together with people very different. In some ways, they are at the bottom of society. They've always been seen as, are they really human? And living with people, because people came to help me, of those who wanted to move up in society. And when they come together, there's transformation, there's change. The people with disabilities began opening up, and the ones who came to live with them began opening up and getting out of this situation of a culture where we have to win and be the strongest and be more powerful and so on. So something happens. It's a sort of flashpoint of transformation. We all get transformed.
So two phrases that Vanier often uses, and which he touched on in that clip, are the tyranny of normality and the religion of success. He's referring to cultures where life is dominated by competition, by the struggle for success and for power. A culture in which success is measured by wealth and by knowledge. A culture which actually confuses wealth and knowledge with value. And where the value of those who can't compete on this basis isn't recognised, or worse, is rejected. And it was the tyranny of this culture that Vanier came to recognise through his experiences. And in 1964, Jean invited Raphael and Philippe to share a home with him. He says, "I simply felt called to live with these two men who had suffered rejection and a lot of inner pain. And for all three, it was the beginning of a new life, radically different from anything any of them had known before. Obviously, there were months of adjustments, of struggle, and of guesswork for each of them getting to know one another. But Jean recalls, essentially, they wanted a friend. They weren't very interested in my knowledge or my ability to do things, but rather they needed my heart and my being." And he found that he was being transformed by the experience of learning to love and to be loved for who you are, rather than what you can do. And through sharing life with Raphael and Philippe, Jean experienced the gift of a community which respects diversity, which enables each member to discover the gift of difference and their different gifts. So L'Arche, which is French for arc, was the name which Vanier gave to that house that he first shared He named it after Noah's Ark. And soon other homes were begun, and this way of sharing life rapidly grew. The name L'Arche came to refer to all the communities joined together in the International Federation of L'Arche Communities, known as L'Arche International. In 2014, L'Arche celebrated its 50th anniversary. And today there are 149 communities and 20 projects in 39 different countries. And Katie Ridsdale-Smith has spent time in one of the L'Arche communities. So it's unsurprising then that Vanier has come to be referred to as Jeanne of Arc. In the light of his experience, Vanier has written and spoken widely. And these are just a few of his books. Encountering the Other, Befriending the Stranger, From Brokenness to Community, The Broken Body, Journey to Wholeness, Tears of Silence, Community and Growth, Jesus, The Gift of Love. The titles alone give you a little bit of a sense of what he's writing about. He says, to some, it may seem strange for me to say that it is the weak and those who've been excluded from society who have been my greatest teachers. But he points to the contrast between the kingdom of the God and the kingdom of this world. God's kingdom, where the last shall be first. God's kingdom, in which in weakness is found strength. Vanier writes and speaks about how the experience of community lived with people with learning disabilities has taught him about what it means to be truly human. The philosophy of L'Arche is very simple. The important thing is that people who've been pushed aside and humiliated need to be shown that they are precious, he says. So it's living together in community that we reveal to each other, you're precious. The wonderful thing is that when we live with people with so-called disabilities, not only are they transformed because they discover that they're loved, but we're also transformed. That's the secret of the philosophy of L'Arche, that we transform each other in helping each other to become more human and more like Jesus. It's that truth about the church that Paul writes about in our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body that is made up of many parts, but together forms one body. And verse 22 says this, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. It's that truth that Jean Vanier came to appreciate in a new way. And it's that truth which the church today continues to need to learn and experience afresh. Each L'Arche community is very different according to the areas that they're based in, but they share the common philosophy of celebrating people, of going beyond basic needs and paying attention to building relationships and a sense of belonging, of sharing one another's lives. A community that believes that they all have need of each other. I wonder whether we are a community who truly believes that we all have need of each other, and who lives accordingly, who recognises that each person here shares the same worth in being made in the image of God, that each person here has a unique gift to share in building up the body of Christ in this place. We're not all called to live in a large community, but we are all called to share our lives and to build relationships with one another, enabling one another to experience that sense of belonging to God and to each other. Allier says, "I am always very moved as I read the gospel, the good news, and see how Jesus lives and acts, how he enters into relationship with each person. Will you come with me? I love you. Will you enter into communion with me?" He calls each one he meets into a personal, intimate relationship with himself. And then Jesus calls his friends into community with others. And this is when all the problems begin. We see the disciples squabbling amongst themselves, wondering who is the greatest, the most important amongst them. Community is a wonderful place. It is life-giving. But it's also a place of pain, because it is a place of truth and growth. The revelation of our pride, of our fear, of our individual brokenness. And Jesus says to his followers, "Now go. Go out into the world and bring the good news to others." So Vanier knows only too well that community isn't simple or easy. Relationships are difficult, and it's entering into the struggles and pain of others that we confront not only our own pain, but the hardness of our hearts. We're forced to confront our lack of love, our selfishness. There's a myth about community, just as there is a myth about marriage, says Vanier. The myth is, "And they all lived happily ever after." The reality of marriage, he says, is that it's a place where a man and a woman are called to sacrifice their egos on the altar of their desire to create one body. And community also means death to ego, in order that we might grow to become one body, truly belonging to one another. This, he tells us, is the vocation of us all as Christians, to live real, loving relationships, to be peacemakers, creating and recreating the body of community in diversity. And he reminds us that it's only possible through our own encounter and relationship with God. We can only love because he has first loved us. Vanier writes, "We must be touched by the Father in order to experience, as the prodigal son did, that no matter how wounded we may be, we are loved." So why did I choose Jean Vanier for this Lent sermon series out of so many other possibilities? Well, partly because here is a man who sought to follow Jesus' call on his life, who set out to build relationships with two men, from which small beginnings God has transformed the lives of thousands in a way that Jean Vanier could never have foreseen. A man whose life is a testimony to the truth of the gospel that he proclaims. But also partly because I have learnt personally a lot about what it means to love Jesus and to love others through my friendships with people with learning disabilities in the church. Let me tell you about Helen. Helen can't communicate with speech, but when she smiles or puts her arm around you, she communicates acceptance as nothing else, no words ever could. or Joanna, one of the people with the greatest joy in her relationship with Jesus Christ that I have ever known, who cheers and encourages everyone she comes into contact with, despite her personal grief and struggles. Or Paul, who also couldn't speak, but whose smile alone put everything into perspective. He reminded you of the things that really mattered. We are all called as members of the body of Christ, the church, as friends of Jesus. And every part of the body is indispensable. As the church, we often fail to live that reality. It's that tyranny of the normal or the stronger that Vanier highlights. The way in which we as a church have absorbed the culture around us, that religion of success. It shapes our attitudes, our organisation of, and our culture as a church. But as those who are equal in the sight of God, made in his image, loved by him, we are called to discover his love through one another, through our diversity, and through our weakness. So let me conclude with some words from Jean Vanier. And it is my hope that each one of you may experience the incredible gift of the friendship of people who the world says are poor and weak, that you too may receive life from them, for they call us to love, to communion, to compassion, and to community. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand more of what it means to be loved by you. And help each one of us to grow in that love in our relationships with one another, to learn more of being your body in this place, of each being called to love, to belong, and to serve with the gifts you've given us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.